Rugby Pass podcast. The date is the 2nd of March. We have seen one round of Super Rugby so far. Heading into round two, I'm Scotty Stevenson. Joining us on the pod this week is radio broadcaster Nathan Rareri. Nato, first of all, let's get straight into it. Most impressive team from round one and why?
Oh, just New Zealand sides?
No, let's go the world.
Okay, Brumbies. Brumbies most impressive because of a dismantling of another team that is... probably weren't regarded as like the bottom team on the way in. I think, you know, the Hurricanes said they're probably middle uppish packish, maybe even looking at the finals. So that to me was the most impressive as far as just a dismantling goes.
52-10 over last year's beaten finalists. It was one of those occasions where, for those of you who have played rugby before and those of you still playing rugby, you kind of get it. You watch that game and there was nothing the Brumbies did that was spectacular.
No.
Very organised, very efficient. Yes, check, check. Those boxes ticked. But the Hurricanes just looked like they were always 1 foot, 2 feet away from where they needed to be in the entire game. They were called fat and lazy at the time. I don't buy that.
No.
I just think this is one of those games where you just the head wasn't in the game.
That's how the Brumbies made them look. I mean, when you and I spoke on Sunday morning, I talked about the Hurricanes... you know, their defence looking like a cobweb trying to stop a bicycle. And it was, whenever there was that rolling maul on the way through. And I thought, even when the Brumbies lost a guy with a yellow card, it didn't matter because he was out in the backs and their forwards were just owning them there on the way through. So you're right. They did everything right. Their kicking game was good. Their defence was good. But particular to me was the that rolling maul of theirs. But one thing I thought that Stephen Larkham's got to be upset with is that they pulled an amazing line-out move at the end. You know, the one where they threw like the short fakey kind of move. And I thought, why are you doing that now? You're winning by 20 points. Save that. Because it was obviously so good. I mean, it got them a try from the five out. It's like, save that, man.
No, I totally use that because that gave the owner of the Brumbies front row in fantasy draft a massive point score. I think every front row scored for the Brumbies.
Yeah, they did. Eh?
That's what makes it even more incredible. So the Brumbies, I think we both concur, best team, best looking side in the competition.
Yeah.
Let's go elsewhere for a second because the Stormers, to me, despite the fact they didn't have a big win like the Sharks over the Kings, but the Kings aren't there at all. The Stormers over the Bulls, that's a pretty impressive victory for a Stormers side that I thought showed more creativity than we're used to seeing from them.
I thought they might win a little more comfortably than that. Well, I was kind of led to believe from all the stuff I read on the way in. And when I got to about half time, that's when I thought to myself, oh man, the Stormers aren't going to pull this out. But extra grit, because I think traditionally coming into that, I've always thought the Stormers were going to be like, this is the team I want to watch the most. I always want to watch them and the Sharks out of South Africa because to me they play quite entertaining footy. But the thing with the Stormers always seemed, when I watched them, they'd get behind and then that was it. So I quite like the fact they look like they've got a little more grit this year, but that whole conference does it when all the South African conference looks a little bit weak.
Yeah, bit weird. We'll get back to that. What about New Zealand? Let's go back to the New Zealand conference then. Your team of the week out of the New Zealand group
is the Blues. And I was at Eden Park, and part of my capacity I'm doing now is I'm sort of like hosting in one of the sponsors' lounges, right? So I do a thing there, and this is the one with all the Joe Public that's bought themselves season tickets. So we had a ton of them in there, about 800.
Did you have ham carvery?
There was a carvery, but it was beef.
A beef carvery. No ham on the bone, no ham rolls.
Yeah, it could have been, but you know, that's what I mean. It's like this, they've got chips coming through and pies as well.
So
Yeah, this isn't the Remuera season ticket holders. These are
that's legit.
This is the Kiwis here, right? So I'm up there. My job is to go drinks down there, toilets over there, TAB thing there, what have you. Beforehand, I was chatting to this one guy in line to get a drink, and he says to me, oh, you know, he said, well, I feel good about it now because cricket season's finished, so I don't feel like I'm sort of juggling them. And him and the guy next to him and a woman behind me, they all said the same thing. They went, oh, just as long as we're a bit better this year. And that's all they wanted. And so at half time, when they come in and they're just trailing the Highlanders, they come in, all of them look like they just won Super Rugby.
Well,
they
also had chips and a pie, and they had a massive head of steam on from the free booze.
Totally. I mean, then all of a sudden, now they're confident about it. They go, this is good. We've got fight this year. So when they came back and won it, afterwards it was carnival in there.
Do you know, I'll tell you why, because the Blues doubled their season average points in one game.
Yeah.
33 points, 17 was their average points per game last season. Their running meters were up. Their tackle success was up. They did a lot of good things in that game against the defending champions. I'm with you on the Blues. Blues, Stormers and Brumbies, for me, three most impressive teams across the board. We're going to move on because I want to talk about the Sunwolves. And for our listeners there on Rugby Pass, of course, we go to so many countries throughout Asia. What was your take on the Sunwolves? Because I can sum it up like this. Unveiled the most terrifying mascot in Super Rugby history.
Any sport ever.
Filled the stadium at Prince Chichibu. Scored a try.
Yeah.
And didn't embarrass themselves. Have I missed anything?
No, no, you haven't. And that's, you know, I drew it back to when the New Zealand side appeared in the Australian Basketball League, the Breakers. And we used to go along and watch, and I was a season ticket holder in the first couple of years. And you could hear the timeouts on the other side there because there was no one in the stadium. And, you know, they lost all the games except for one, I think it was. So when teams expand in any league, like normally the expansion teams that come in are weak. Obviously, Jags are a little bit, or Hags, they're a little bit different with this there. But I thought the thing that was all you could all you could ask for from the Sunwolves was fight. Yeah, they're Hakawaris. You know, that's all you could ask for from the Sunwolves, and you got it. And I liked seeing on Twitter 3 hours beforehand that there was a crowd of a few hundred outside the stadium in Japan there buying the, you know, buying the shirts, buying the hat. I'm a Sunwolf now, so that's good. So hopefully they got enough to come back, because I think, you know, that crowd stayed with them the whole way through the game.
Dead set. Totally agree. Sunwolves, I think they are legit. Let's go on. We're going to go quick fire, Nate. We're going to go into round two now. Sunwolves have the bye this round, so we don't have to think about them for another week at least. We're going to do this randomly, no order, but we're going to start with the Sharks and the Jags. My big concern about the Jaguares is they let the Cheetahs run for 688 metres.
Yeah.
That's more metres than any other team ran during the first round of Super Rugby. They missed 28 tackles, and their tackling success rate was 77%.
Yeah.
Okay, that's against the Cheetahs, who we know have the structural integrity of a meringue.
Yeah, yeah.
But what about the Sharks?
See, I was more confident of the Jaguares before that game than I was after. And I thought that they actually struggled, particularly early on, with just how quickly things happen. You know, they've had all those guys playing in the Pampas. You know, they've had those guys playing up north or what have you. But I thought it took them a while to settle in and get down. This is the real test for me, because if the Sharks decide to take them on up front, I think that Jaguares will love that. You know, Creevy will be over that all day. Mm. And we got to see some of his Sunny Bill offloads or what have you, and his footwork there too. But
Creevy's the best hooker going.
He's fantastic. Man, he's good because he does it all, because he's tough. He's got the inspiration. He plays physical. He's got the skill. He's got the footwork. He's got the hands in that as well. This is a real even game for me today. And when I was trying to pick my multi this morning, I stayed away from it because I don't know. But I think this is the decider. That, like, this is such an important game, because if you don't beat these guys at home, you can't let these guys get into a situation where you have to travel to Buenos Aires and then try and beat them over there, because I don't think you can.
I'm totally with you, but I'm not going to sit on the fence and get splinters in my butt crack like you. I'm going to pick the Sharks here. Okay. I think the Jaguars,
Jaguares.
I think they flattered to deceive in the first game against the Cheetahs.
Yeah.
We're going to move on to the Australian Conference.
Okay.
The Brumbies taking on the Waratahs. We've both named the Brumbies as our form team, I think, of the competition. They take on a Waratahs team that has dusted them up four straight games. In fact, in the last four games, they have not let the Brumbies score more than 13 points.
Yep.
Have the Brumbies got a thing here? Have they got a thing about the Tars?
They do. Well, yeah, but Queensland used to do that as well with the Waratahs. No, not this year, though. I think that that Brumbies side is far too solid because of their forwards. I think their forward pack just basically rips these guys apart. And it's great that, you know, he's getting back.
Chewbacca one.
Yeah. It's great that Curtly Beale's making great cover tackles and what have you. But I still think that, you know, their bread and butter is they play the Northern Hemisphere. They go to the sidelines, they roll it off the side, and they just continue to roll up. So I think they're Brumbies on.
Bernie Larkham rugby.
Yeah.
There's nothing fancy.
No.
There's nothing fancy about Bernie Larkham. Weekend at Bernie's, again, 67% goal kicking for the Tars in round one. Curtly Beale's going to have to find his radar real quick.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the Bulls and the Rebels here. Not what you'd call a marquee game in the round. Bulls looked awful against the Stormers.
They look confused.
They do look confused. No Andre Pollard.
Right.
Be the fifth match of between these two clubs in Super Rugby. The Rebels will be looking for back-to-back victories. Won their first one last year against the Bulls. I think they're a chance.
Yeah, I think they get it. I think they do get it, because I think the Bulls at the moment look like they've gone, okay, well, let's try and play running and us rugby. So I think you've got that and the travel and, you know, that as well.
They've got no 10.
That's what makes me think, yeah, I'm going the Rebels on this too.
Rebels? The rebellion is up.
I know.
That's
Tarmody Ellison. Why isn't Tarmody Ellison playing here?
Tarmody Ellison should be playing here.
Please, come
also,
on.
Before we move on to the next game, your thoughts on a milkshake?
Every
milkshake needs to have three qualities, Nathan. We're talking to our producer, Jose Barbosa, about this earlier.
What'd you go with?
No, I just went and got a vanilla milkshake.
Viscosity.
There was no shaking involved, no mixing involved. The lady just turned on a tap and some white ooze.
That's
fell
a snow
into
freeze. That's just a snow
right?
freeze.
She so wants that, you to, that belongs in
so
a cone.
So they call it a super thick shake then, don't they?
Right, is that what
yeah,
it was?
Yeah, I've seen that one.
New Zealand listeners will know this, and all those living in Asia from New Zealand, milk biscuits.
Yeah.
It tasted like liquefied milk biscuits, and it wasn't even cold.
No.
It was a kind of...
A room temperature yeah, like chalk a room that temperature. Tastes like milk.
I don't know what your thoughts are on it, but get in
That's
touch.
That's our cuisines.
Get
yeah.
in touch with us on Twitter. Give us your thoughts on the milkshake. Let's move to the Cheetahs and the Stormers.
Yeah.
The Cheetahs, as I said, they are the strangest team. They have been the strangest team in Super Rugby for a long time. No dramas about making run meters. No dramas about scoring tries.
Yeah.
But here's the kicker. 45 missed tackles against the Hagawaris.
Yeah, but it was all off that one run from Orlando.
45 missed tackles in one phase of code. How do you even miss 45 tackles as a professional rugby team?
They overran them quite often. And also, too, I think that once Hagawaris managed to catch up with the speed of the game, and actually there's someone that Phil Kearns might want to get to at the end of their game, the Cheetahs, because they're out on their feet. You know, the try that Lundaho scored just over by the post when he ran through, they just look stuffed on the way through. So, yeah.
Well, the Stormers have won 10 of their last 13 against the Cheetahs, although yeah. It's three wins apiece in the last six games, although the Cheetahs have lost their last four at home in Bloemfontein as well.
Yeah.
I just cannot see this happening for the Cheetahs because the Stormers won't let them run in tries.
No.
136 tackles the Stormers made against the Bulls they missed. They missed just six.
Wow.
Great defensive team.
Yeah,
nothing changes
go.
With the Stormers, although Robbie Fleck, I think, has just brought a bit of youthful excitement to their attack, as you mentioned before.
I hope they go really well.
Yeah,
and because,
yeah.
You know, it was always very exciting earlier on watching a packed Newlands.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
and it's,
totally.
You know, it's not quite so packed at the moment.
No, it's a hell of a stadium.
Yeah.
Let's go back to New Zealand now, to the Tron, the city of the future. Hamilton, the Chiefs, getting the Spoils first up against the Crusaders, running a dual pivot program, which I think a lot of teams are going to struggle with. Aaron Cruden,
yeah.
Damian McKenzie in at fullback. The great thing about the Chiefs here for me, Noto, is that Aaron Cruden's the sort of guy, he's going to get some touches early in the game, then he does whatever he wants to do. Late in the game, they swapped out Tawhata Kurbalo for Brad Weber.
Mm.
Brad Weber plays alongside Damian McKenzie as a first five in provincial rugby in New Zealand. That combination back and forth, and they mowed down the Crusaders, I thought, over the last 10 minutes of the
game. Shot out of a gun.
Same again here for the Lions.
Yep. Yeah, I think so. You know, the Lions are that side that, to me, always show up, and they're always better than you think they are. I think, you know, when you first, out of instinct, it was always like, oh, who are the Lions playing? I'm choosing the other team to win 13+. You know, they come off that win there in Japan, which was kind of tough to get through. They've got a heck of a flight down to New Zealand to do it. Then you go down to the Tron as well. But I always think the danger with the team playing like that is does the Chiefs go with that thing where they rotate a lot of guys through the squad? I think they need to stick with a very similar squad as they had there, you know, last week as well.
Yeah, and the Chiefs only made 62 tackles last week.
Wow, really? Well, there was a lot of kicking in that game.
It was a dead set, a lot of kicking.
It was the, yeah. There's Andy Ellis behind a ruck. I wonder if he's going to, he did box kick.
100%. Yeah. Well, I think Warwick Tecklenburg and Warren Whiteley, two of the big earners on fantasy points too for the Lions.
Yes.
It's a great loose forward trio. Yaku Creel is there as well. So the Lions will be competitive. I get the feeling the Chiefs are 14-4 against South African opponents in their last
And, you know, people got into Yamashita, who was playing on the tight end, going, that Chiefs scrum's going to struggle, you know, all year. It's like, well, do you know what? No, that Crusaders scrum, that's going to take them as well. That Crusaders tight five will take that team as far as they can. And that team's going to do worse stuff to a lot of other scrums. Yet they hung around enough, didn't they? They didn't get pushed over for a try. They managed to get the ball when they needed it. There was that one weird feed that Brad Weber did right onto the bottom of Nathan Harris's
Agreed.
Foot. But apart from that, you know, you can get away with it. And also the changes to the scrum laws. Thank you.
Well, you can also bring on a whole new front row. So, you know, happy days.
Yep.
Do you know my favourite thing about this fixture?
What?
You'll remember this game. 2010. The highest combined
really
score in Super Rugby history. On that day, the Lions scored 65 points. And lost.
Yes.
72-65 to the Chiefs. That was on the 19th of February 2010.
Wow, was it that much?
What a game.
I was going to guess one was in the 50s, one was in the 40s.
No, unreal. Unreal. Yeah. Three more to go, Nate. Rarara, you're on the Rugby Pass podcast. The date is the 2nd of March 2016.
Nice.
We're heading into round two of Super Rugby.
Mm.
The Crusaders take on the Blues. The Blues have not won in Christchurch. Not won in Christchurch. Since Carlos Spencer flipped the bird
since
in
then,
2004.
Well, you see, if we were Americans, that would be the
curse,
wouldn't it?
It's a total curse of Carlos's middle finger.
The curse
total.
Of the jackal. You know what? I'm going to say that I think the Blues can grab this one as well.
Wow.
Because I think that...
You've drunk the flavor aid here.
Because I think that right across the team, they've got more. I think their backs are better than the Crusaders' backs are.
Well, you want to know something? So does Tana Umanga. He's made six changes to that team that beat the defending champions last week, including a new 9 and 10 combination who are going to go down to Christchurch and try and do something no Blues team has done in 12 years.
Yep.
Confidence in your squad.
I just think so. And, you know, like my dad was a coach. He very much taught me to watch a game like Earl Curtin. So I like to watch from behind.
What, wearing a scarf?
Yes, on the end,
standing behind the goalpost.
But yeah, but I do. But you could see some of the shifts they put on, and they were leaving a hole out wide for the Highlanders going, I dare you. You try and get out there.
Sure.
As soon as the Highlanders went out, they've got a wonderful little double shift which comes in to get across there. And I just, you know what? I think that with the Crusaders, you know, I really like Richie Mwanga, but I think that maybe their 10 crisis, which is what the Blues have been hung on for a long time, that, you know, that people have said with Ihai West. I think Ihai's got to be pretty comfortable with how things went when he played. I think that
couldn't agree more.
I think they look good, and I think that right across the park, they're set to go. And I know they're not favourites. I think the TAB's got the Crusaders as favourites at this game, but I like the Blues in this.
All right, Nato. Reds taking on the Fours. The Reds, many people believe this is one of the worst Reds teams ever produced.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm prepared to go that far at the moment. Waratahs didn't look that good against them last week. I know it was 30-10. It's a bit of a blowout. But even so, the Reds would back themselves over the Force. They won both matches between these teams in 2015. They've got to do something, but I wonder if they've got the creativity come out of the back like they need to if they're going to play in their own half.
I think there are some really fun players to watch in that side, in that Reds team. There's the, I forget what his name is, the winger, was it Tabouli? The winger who used to
it's
play league.
It's not Tabouli, that's what's in a kebab.
It
goes in a kebab.
They have got some really exciting players, and I think that now when I watch the Reds, you just have to watch for individual fun, because I don't think team-wise that they're ever going to really rip anybody apart out there as well. So I'll take the Force in that. I think I'll take the Force. I like the team that they have, and I can't think of this guy's name. There are some fantastic guys to watch. There are reasons to watch the Reds because
Nick Frisby.
What you're going to get is a team that's, you know, behind and failing badly. So some guy's going to try and do something himself. That's kind of the fun. That's the fun thing that you want there. Nabouli. That's his name. Nabouli,
not Tabouli.
No, not Tabouli, Nabouli.
Nabouli does not go in a kebab.
He's fun, he's out in the winger. Eto Nabouli.
There you go, you got him. We're going to finish on a high note, mate. We're going to finish on a repeat of the final. Now, this is what I love about this. You come into weeks where you've got this game. It's the Hurricanes-Highlanders, it's a repeat of the 2015 grand final.
Yeah.
And every coach says the same thing. Oh, no, we've buried that. Bullshit.
Nah.
Come on.
Nah, because the fans haven't.
Come on. The Hurricanes ain't buried that. They got dusted up on their own home track by a Marty Banks drop goal. Please, they are going there for revenge, surely.
They're going to try, and I don't think they're going to get it. Because I think that last week's game against the Brumbies actually showed how big a part Broadhurst played last year in their success.
Jeremy Thrush.
You need a horse.
Martin Nonu, Conrad Smith.
Like, big Ford packs need a good big guy. I call them BMDs, a big mean dude. You know, you got a big mean guy in your pack. They get through there as well. And I just thought we were, the Hurricanes, that's my team, we're lacking it.
That's good from you.
With Ben Franks as well. I thought, man, what a difference he made as well, because you could really spot when those two weren't there. And I think that the Highlanders, for me, even though I was most impressed with the Blues on Friday night, I still think the Highlanders appeal to me as the guys that are going to win the New Zealand group, because I think they just look strongest the whole way across. I think they're quite settled. So to me, I just can't see that Hurricanes type five with enough to be able to get into the Highlanders.
There's so much to me that has sympathy for that sentiment, because, you know, a settled group is a good thing. We've seen the teams that have been able to go back to back in this tournament, and it's been a while since we've seen that. But
good,
those teams
19.
Always had settled squads.
Yeah.
I just wonder with the Highlanders, and speaking to Aaron Smith after last week's game against the Blues, he said, you know, we were guilty of just waiting for it to happen as opposed to really working for it to happen. Is that, do you think, indicative of a little bit of a prevailing attitude around the squad? We've been to the mountaintop, we've got nothing
I guess
to prove.
So. Yeah, you know, because, well, that was their litmus test. Well, that was what happened last time they played. They had that belief and gotten through, and they had some great plays. I mean, the play from Elliot Dixon to spot that angle and get through those, four or five tacklers was fantastic. So maybe that's always come. But, I mean, doesn't that always happen, though? I mean, that's all the great teams have always had that one of us is going to be the one that's going to pull us over there, so I'll just keep doing my job until someone gets there. You know, they just came up against a very willing side the other night. So, yeah, I think at home, in particular, but with the tight five, I think that's where the Hurricanes are in trouble against them.
Good on you, Nate Rattery. Thanks very much. That's been the Rugby Pass podcast. The date is the 2nd of March 2016. We're looking forward to round two of Super Rugby. Don't forget, go to rugbypass.com. Make sure you subscribe every Super Rugby match live and at your fingertips. We'll catch you next week as the Rugby Pass podcast continues all season long.